croissant. And I'm fearful, I'm fearful, I'm fearful of flying, and flying is fearful of me. And I covered my eyes when she told me the news, turning me on when my lightsaber cocks again. Are you coming? 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 Nicotine stain on account of a crutch, and I'm aching from fucking too much. And I know what I do, and it all points to you. Did you sell me to Wanderlust? I'm fearful, I'm fearful of flying, and flying is fearful of me. And I'm covering my eyes when she told me the news, turning me on when my lightsaber cocks again. Are you coming? 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 Are you coming?
Welcome to the Grunt Free Press Podcast, episode 229. Please God, someone send help. Go to www.gruntfreepress.com for a live feed of what's clearly someone being held against their will, forced to endure some kind of monotonous video game for the sexual pleasure of some sick individual. That's obvious foreshadowing that I played Shenmue this week. We'll get to that, but the short version is I would have rather mined for World of Warcraft gold in a Chinese detention center. I think I would have been happier mining for actual gold in a forest, a real Chinese forced labor camp. I'm absolute deicide. And I really don't know why I do the things that I do. Take Star Wars, for instance. Star Wars Jedi, The Fallen Order. Great game. Good enough to make me want to play catch-up. Not catch-up. catch-up with what I missed in the Star Wars series in general since, like, you know, Rogue One was probably the last movie I saw. The big one that I missed being the numbered movie. I hadn't seen episode fucking 8, I think. The Last Jedi, the movie. And I know this is like a video game podcast thing, whatever. But I was in the mood for some fucking nice helping of midichlorians. The Last Jedi came out, both during peak Star Wars fatigue and probably peak everything that was on the internet is just fucking terrible and awful and, you know, racist and sexist and everything sucks. So, the Last Jedi, you know, you'd hear like read articles, The Last Jedi is a feminist film. You know, if you don't love fucking the movie, you're racist. And oh, then, you know, it comes out and The Last Jedi is the end of the Star Wars franchise. They killed it, and then fucking articles in response to that, like, oh yes, The Last Jedi will kill Star Wars, but that's a good thing. And so I mean, again, I was just fucking like, I don't want to see these fucking movies every year and see if like read this fucking garbage and all that shit. And I don't really want to be caught up in it. So now I waited. I wanted to be like removed from the hype and the hyperbole. And it's probably, you know, a lot of that's just like paid marketing. It seems like that's a way for fucking companies just to fucking advertise their movies, just to fucking build up some kind of like controversy around it. You know, just designed to go viral and fucking trend on Twitter bullshit that people do. So, yeah, I mean, it's been like, what, 2 years after it released? It seems like a fucking good enough time. I think there's a new movie coming out next month. I'm not even sure, but probably. I mean, I think it's fucking at the end of December, a new Star Wars movie's coming out. I think like the new, another like numbered one, which would be like 9 or something. So yeah, I watched Star Wars: The Last Jedi, all fucking 8.5 hours of it, and well, the first thing I learned was yes, I mean the Force users cutting themselves off from the Force, that was something that was in, that's something that happens now in like Star Wars movies and shit. I thought maybe that was something they made up for the game, fucking Fallen Order, that was in there. I thought that was like fucking like, oh, that's weird. They'd fucking just, that would start happening all of a sudden. Yeah, I thought they were just doing it to justify like the Metroidvania design where you lost all your powers and you're trying to gain them back. Like, I don't know, dude, the guy fucking cut himself off in the Force. Now he has to relearn it. But yeah, I mean, that's what Luke Skywalker has done in the Last Jedi, to hide himself on an island in the middle of nowhere. So mystery solved there, that it wasn't just something for the game. A little different in the movies, obviously. He wasn't, he didn't have to fucking go to start from square one to try to get back in touch with the Force, whatever. But yeah, so the rest of the movie, the rest of the Last Jedi, before, besides that little tidbit that I figured out, holy shit, what a fucking piece of garbage that was. So yeah, here's the problem with the perpetually ironic, nitpicky fucking internet snark. That's like some people's brand, you know what I mean? Well, they'll find flaws and faults with anything, and post teardowns, like fucking, you know, we see these videos on YouTube and shit, like, everything wrong with X, or, you know, you're an idiot if you like this, you know, you're stupid if you like The Godfather, but then it's like, what? And then it's like, oh, there's a continuity error with fucking Vito Corleone's tie in scene 87 and at the fucking 45.7 minute mark and all that shit. Then when you start, you know, you see people talking shit about something like The Last Jedi, it's like, I don't know, you just fucking, people just hate everything, so who cares? You know, you think like, whatever, you know, you're just looking for fucking like clicks to yourself, so, you know, and also those fucking like channels and shit, like what have you made yourself besides videos just bitching about other people's work, and those people won't make movies and shit. It's like, oh, that's terrible. Like, you know, you can't fucking make movies for shit, or, you know, you can't fucking do anything. So a popular criticism, or it was kind of like a meme from The Last Jedi, was, you know, Princess Leia getting sucked out of an airlock and she's flying through space, but then it's like, oh, she does that, but then she survives using the Force. And I mean, that's in the movie, and it's like, yeah, that's a little dumb, sure, but that's probably one of the least embarrassing things that happens in The Last Jedi. Like, everything that Carrie Fisher is in the movie is pretty fucking cringy. She's just talking through her dentures, and she looks like she's gonna die any second, perhaps, when she's on an airplane in the near future after they film the movie. I'm not gonna sit here and fucking list all of The Last Jedi's problems or anything like that, but let's say most of it most of it is a problem. Like, almost every scene is fucking problems. One of the first scenes in the movie, there's a fleet of First Order ships. They fucking still call them Star Destroyers, I guess. They look like fucking Star Destroyers anyway. So all these fucking First Order ships are fucking chasing the rebels. And that's pretty much the main conflict in the movie, the rebels are in danger of, they're being chased, they're gonna run out of fuel, and once they run out of fuel, they're gonna be destroyed, all the rebel ships will be fucking blown up by the First Order, and I'm pretty sure that's the first time fuel, like fuel for ship fuel has been something that ships needed in Star Wars. I mean, I don't know. There's never really something. It's not like, you know, I don't remember Han Solo being on fucking like Tatooine and being like, oh, well, you guys got to pay for my, I'll take you, but you got to pay for my fuel. Or I got to go gas up my ship. I don't know. I think they kind of Mass Effect toed it, where it's like, you know, in this universe, you never had to worry, you know, Mass Effect 1, you never had to worry about ammo, because it's like, oh, in this universe, they solved that as a resource in this world, so their weapons just don't use ammo, or it's such a small amount that you would never think of having to worry about it. But now you do in Mass Effect 2, because we need something for you to collect. So, you know, we need something for you to fucking more traditional, like, you know, combat where you're getting ammo. And yeah, now with fucking, you know, the Last Jedi is like, well, now space fuel all of a sudden, like, that's a big concern because we need a conflict here in the story. Like, this won't work without it. So, yeah, they're running out of fuel, you know. they needed like a ticking timer for this fucking slow motion chase for 2.5 hours. These fucking ships chasing each other, and Mad Max Fury Road. It's not, you know, not very exciting to watch two ships slowly chase each other in space. So very early on in the movie, this one lone X-wing flies up to the main Star Destroyer to parlay, and there's this, you know, he's talking, the guy's talking to the fucking commander of the Empire of First Order or whatever, and there's this quote-unquote joke where the pilot of the X-Wing is stalling for time and pretending that the transmission is not coming through, like he can't hear the guy coming in. And he's saying, like, what? I can't hear you. Can you hear me now? Like, that's the joke. And, you know, it's just like a fucking Nextel joke or something like that. I mean, it seems like they're just repeating lines from a Nextel commercial. Pause for laughter, I guess. Yeah, I mean, even though those commercials were old and irrelevant about 10 years ago or something like that. And you're invoking them. It's like, I remember those commercials or something, like in a Star Wars movie. Did somebody's grandmother write that? You know, was that like something somebody's fucking, you know, elderly fucking parent was like, oh, isn't that funny? You remember those Nextel commercials? And remember those ads where those two young men couldn't hear each other? And, oh, me and Harold used to laugh and laugh. And there's those fucking horribly failed attempts at comedy pretty much through the entire movie. At least it tries to be fucking funny, and it just falls on its fucking face over and over again. Almost like directly after that scene, like, the X-Wing starts, you know, he gets shot up or whatever, and his X-Wing starts leaking fluid. You see fucking, looks like just water, like, pouring out of his fucking engine or something like that. And, his little droid there, BB-8, he just uses some, like, his robotic arm comes out, and he tries to plug it up with, like, his, whatever, metal finger or something like that. Like, oh, he's gonna plug up the hole. So he does. but then get this, another leak is sprung, and he has to use another metal finger, kind of extends out of that, so he's got two fingers in there. And, you know, it's just fucking like, oh, okay, it's like a leaking water joke, and him trying to, you know, plug it, and it's like, all right, well, that's like harmless and hacky, like old-timey, whatever, like cartoon comedy bit or whatever. That's for the kids, I guess, you know, but wait, and then it cuts back, and there's even more leaks, and he has like, you know, six fingers sticking out and plugging them up, and just have to like keep going with it. You know, it wasn't funny the first couple times, or comedy rules of three or something, but it's just fucking like, oh man, that's what I call mirth and fucking merriment. So I fucking swear that the Last Jedi is meant to be like a Star Wars parody. Probably the best one since Spaceballs. I fucking laughed pretty goddamn hard through a lot of it. None of the parts I don't think they were meant to be funny. Like, they wanted to be funny, like their jokes. Like, I laughed at like the cringe awkwardness that somebody somewhere actually wrote like the jokes and thought they were funny, and you know, Luke's terrible one liners, and you know, I fucking just saw those and just thought, like, this, you know, somebody wrote them, it was just like, this has the elements of a humorous situation. This is where people would laugh, humans would find funny. It's just like fucking, you know, then they film it, and then, you know, not only did somebody write that and think it was funny, but they filmed it. And then somebody watched the movie, and then like they, you know, they edited it, and they just left the shit in here. It's like, wow, dude, like this is fucking amazing. Nobody stopped them. It's like impressively bad. Just what a fucking train wreck the movie is. It's like, holy shit, like this actually is like a big budget movie from fucking like Disney or whatever. Like this is a fucking Star, like a numbered Star Wars movie. Is this fucking bad? Like it's fucking just wow. You know, Rey, you know, the main character of the series, I guess, Rey, she's still this autistic wooden nothing that seems like she's acting, and she should be in, like, at home in the prequel movies, just barely any emotion, and she's, like, fucking like a robot. The only time that she shows any kind of emotion is when she sticks her hand under some, like, a leaking water or whatever, you know, a fucking drain, water drain that's, you know, just water pouring down from the Millennium Falcon. She sticks her hand out, she touches it, and she smiles and giggles like an idiot, because that's exactly what a fucking autistic person would do. then she goes down in some swamp butthole, and there's a scene that fucking drags on for like 10 minutes where there's just mirror images of Rey in a line. And it seems like they fucking recycled those from the Star Wars holiday special. It was waiting for like some fucking shitty music to play and a dance number to fucking, no, it was just stupid. Then there's this, absolutely fucking ridiculous scene with Luke. Again, no, the internet meme is like fucking like, oh, Luke drinks fucking, you know, he milks an alien. He drinks fucking alien tit milk. That's like that seems pure Kubrickian filmmaking compared to him, keeping the original Jedi code. He's like these original Jedi books in like a plastic tree. The tree would be barely passable for like a high school stage play to use that as a prop. Another instance where I don't think fucking, you know, he's got these books, and again, I'm thinking like, I don't think paper or books is a thing that exists in Star Wars, you know? I could be wrong, but I don't remember ever seeing, like a single piece of paper appearing anywhere in the fucking Star Wars universe before this. And then like, fucking like, you know, it's like, oh no, well, here's these books and here's this fucking like, Lego tree. It just looks like this shitty, like, toy tree. With these fucking awful looking books in them. Like, they look like they tried to make these things just to be sold in like the Disney gift shop or something like that. Like, oh, this looks like some collectible thing that we can reproduce for cheap and just sell them, and kids will buy them for fucking $50 or whatever. And they probably would be selling them if everything about that scene, which wasn't like an embarrassment, was like fucking like, oh, this looks like this is a shitty scene, and like those books look like shit, and the tree they're in that looks like fucking shit too. So Luke tries to burn the tree, because apparently no other copies of these fucking books exist anywhere. And, you know, even if they didn't, like, all right, nobody copied these books and whatever, it was supposed to be like thousands and thousands of years or whatever. Let's assume they're the only fucking copies in existence. That'd be like saying like, oh, dude, I have like the original Bible, dude. The first Bible ever written, you know, I fucking have it hidden somewhere and that's it. Like, if this is gone, nobody's going to know what the fucking, what it says in the Bible, you know what I mean? but I mean, like, granted that, let's just fucking assume that fucking there's nobody ever copied these fucking books. But I mean, the Jedi never needed them anyway. Like, I never heard any other Jedi say, like, oh, we need like the original text to do anything. So who fucking cares, really? So yeah, he's going to fucking burn them in bed. He's trying to burn the tree. And then Yoda shows up pretty unceremoniously, and Yoda's terrible and goofy in the fucking movie, and Luke doesn't seem to give a shit that he's there, and You know, he kind of talks him out of it, and then the fucking tree gets hit by lightning anyway, and the books burn, and it's like, dude, and nobody fucking cares. Anybody's like, ooh, this was just completely fucking pointless, and this is just, like, retarded and looked terrible. So, all right, though, enough of that. I'll just say, watch The Last Jedi. I highly recommend it, because it's fucking hysterical how incompetent the entire movie is. If you saw it before, if you saw it like 2 years ago or whatever, and you're like all excited and you were disappointed, whatever, or if you liked it, watch it again. Watch it multiple times, because it was made by very, very dumb people. Not that it was made for dumb people, which, I mean, Star Wars gets accused of doing. It was just like, oh, dude, oh, I'm a Star Trek guy. It makes you think or whatever. They have a better vision of the future or... it might be, you know, but it's made but like by dumb people. It might be kind of mean to laugh at retards. It's a movie that was just apparently made and produced and starring like the entire cast and edited by retards, you know, like, but it's funny. I mean, sorry, you know, I find it quite funny. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, on the other hand, that's a fucking masterpiece by comparison. I mean, yeah, I did bitch about some of the performance issues in Fallen Order and, you know, a few glitches here and there, but, you know, you can easily overlook that, when the story makes some kind of logical sense in the game. And the developers seem to have, given the slightest particle of a shit about Star Wars when they made it, unlike a certain movie that shall remain nameless. Though I will say, in the grand scheme of things, even looking at Fallen Order's story, it's almost just as inconsequential as the fucking The Last Jedi. I was a little, you know, as I was playing it, I was a little bit lost at first about what's like what the point of the game was, and it's like, oh, it seems like, you know, this story, you know, traveling to this planet looking for something and something bigger going on I'm missing, but it turned out to be just about as simple as it could be. You know, it's like fucking takes place, the game takes place after Order 66 happens, and there's a holocron somewhere out there with the identities of all the known force users, force sensitive people in the galaxy or something like that. And you're trying to track down that list, and you know the resistance wants to use it to build up, you know, build their recruit them to their cause, and to fight the Empire or whatever. Then, you know, then throughout the game, you're looking for it, you find it, and then you decide it would be better for it to be destroyed anyway, so it doesn't really, you know, they don't want to, it's like, oh, well, what if the Empire gets it eventually, this list? So, you know, spoilers, by the way. So, I mean, you end up fucking destroying it anyway, so there's no real impact, really, on the Star Wars universe by the end of the game. You know, it's not like fucking this story of like, oh, well, that's how this happened or whatever. It's just like, oh no, you were looking for something, you found it, you destroyed it. So, I mean, you kind of have to expect that for fucking, like, you know, these offshoot like games and shit anyway. So you're not going to get any like major like developments really. Yeah, Fallen Order, it is well told, though. It's very fucking Star Wars-y. It's like, oh, this could be like just like a part of a movie or like a side movie or something like that. Unlike a certain movie that I just watched that will remain nameless. So, I was also like a ways off when I estimated how long it was going to be. So it's about, it took me probably, I don't know, like 20, 25 hours or something like that. It ends kind of abruptly. You know, you just fucking go to an Empire stronghold. You fucking assaulting this fucking base or whatever. You fight Darth Vader, which is fucking amazing. It's fucking how they handle it. Handle Vader in the game. Because again, they're kind of like trapped in this, like, you know, the established like Star Wars timeline where you're not going to be able to, like, kill, you know, they're not going to, it's like, obviously, it's, you know, they're not even going to try to, it's like, oh, dude, fight him, and if you beat him, you'll kill him, or anything like that. You know, you're not going to be able to fucking, like, you know, cut his hand off, or any of that shit. Show fucking Vader is still going to be in, like, Jedi, or whatever, you know? So, so they make, in the game, they make Vader this, like, unstoppable, almost like horror movie slasher that's you have like no chance against him when you fight him. You can only like run away from him while he fucking, you know, he's like twisting and like crushing the walkways that you're on, and it's just pretty intense last chase scene of the game. You know, it's like the first mission of the game. It's like, oh, this chase thing, you know, you're just like running, like trying to like you know, learn the controls and shit, and like, you know, climbing all this shit. And then it's like, you know, the game like turns that around where it's like, all right, well, now you're being fucking chased by Vader and he's crushing the shit. And you just kind of, you know, it's kind of like this linear fucking platforming thing. Then he gets fucking, it ends up with him in like this underwater, like glass tunnel thing, imploding on him. And then he makes like a air bubble with the force to keep from drowning or whatever. Kind of like a certain dead princess in a certain feature film that we won't mention. Only this is much like the fucking, like the Vader thing where he like does like a force bubble around himself. Like that's fucking like much cooler. But then the game ends after that. And it's kind of like the Vader fight, and it shows like, it's like, oh, here's the holocron. And, you know, I was like, fucking, oh, let's not destroy it after all. And fucking, or well, let's destroy it after all. I mean, it felt like it was building up to one or two more planets. You know what I mean? Like fucking just like, you know, it's all like this hype and build up of you. It's like, oh, you got all these new powers and blah, blah, blah. So it would have been nice to have like one or two more planets where it's just like, all right, now you have like pretty much all your powers and just go out and use them. And, you know, here's like this, you know, more challenging shit, and you got to use all your everything all at once. And, you know, but it's just more like, you go back and you know, go back to the planets you'd already been on and try to collect more like upgrades or whatever if you want. Then it's like you do that fucking the Empire Stronghold, and then like that's kind of it. Maybe like a final boss before Vader that was going to be hard as balls, but you know, you could like kill him or whatever. But but it's just like, yeah, you know, he's fucking, it's like, here's Vader, you run from him, watch a cutscene of the crew fucking breaking up the holocron, and it ends. So it does say something about fucking how enjoyable Fallen Order was. It's just fucking, it's like, you know, I was fucking like, oh, it's going to be a long game. And even after like 20 hours, it's like, I still wanted to keep going. And you can obviously, you can keep playing it if you load a save so you can fully explore the planets and, you know, look for chests and all that shit, you know, if you wanted to. But you know, at that point, again, it's like, fucking, it's like, oh, the game's over though. Why am I going to go and fucking like look for all this shit or try to like upgrade myself more? It's pretty much done. You know, I've already beaten the fucking game. I don't see the point in that. You know, I'll wait for the sequel, I guess. You know, Star Wars: The Last Jedi, Fallen Order. When Cal will realize at the last moment that he didn't even need to fucking improve his force abilities, he can just fucking put his robot pal in the cockpit of his ship and launch it at fucking light speed into an entire Empire fleet, and that'll just wipe it out. So, but. So, yeah, now let's go from this fucking high-octane fantasy fulfillment fucking action game to lots and lots of reading dense reports about your pet squid and the intricate details of Fallen London. So, I played Sunless Sea, and Sunless Sea, that's SEA, is a game that came out a few years ago. And just, you know, all the hipsters were raving about it because it was this fucking esoteric, narrative-heavy game based on some obscure, like, tabletop game or narrative, whatever, fucking novels or books or something like that. This Fallen London universe where London is sunk under the earth, and there's no sun. You know, it's just they're surrounded by a sunless sea, if you will. And yeah, in the game, you take on the role of a sea captain attempting to chart voyages across the waters and trade goods and stories and, you know, build up fucking money and buy bigger and better equipped boats and manage your crew so they don't go insane and eat each other on the journeys. And you have some vague end goal depending on how you created your character. And the captain I made was a poet, like in his background, so it said I had to collect 100 tales to win. Like, that was his end goal, then he could retire. Maybe. I mean, what exactly counted as a tale as I was playing? I couldn't fucking tell you. Or, you know, if I had to fucking report them to someone to make it count. But yeah, as I was playing, I kept like collecting these various types of information from reading newspapers when I was in port. Or, you know, you visit these different islands and they give you, you know, you talk with the fucking natives on the island, or, you know, I'd be like dissecting sea monsters that I killed. And then I'd get like these prompts of like, fuck, it's like, oh, you gain like one story or one something. And like, is that like the tale? Like, I'd get to do like 100 of these. That's the whole point. Or, but then it'd be like, oh, you can combine these stories into secrets. And then it's like, oh, you can spend the secrets to like upgrade your crew's stats. And it's like, I don't know, is any of this like counting towards the total? If you spend them like echoes, like, because echoes are fallen London's currency, by the way. They call them echoes, like the fucking money, the dollars or whatever. So yeah, it's one of those games where it might as well be a fucking crafting survival sim, because you're just always combing through like menus on top of menus and just trying to keep tabs, like little fucking tabs on the menu on what you need and like how many you're gonna need to fucking do this next thing and where to get whatever it is. And the game can't just fucking tell you any of it in like normal language, what the fuck it wants you to do to progress. Because it's all about, it's all flavor and world building. You read like three paragraphs of text, which will be like describing the matted hair of some street urchin and her yellow teeth and her crooked smile. And it's like, oh, the rats must be out tonight because the food crumbs on her sweater are eaten and gnawed clean and leaving little teeth marks in her cardigan or whatever. And then she asks, you know, will ye be needing any fuel for your voyage across the Z? And that's actually what they call the Z. They call it the Z with a Z because, you know, flavor. It can't just be like, oh, go see, go fucking sail in the notes. Like, oh, the Z, and, you know, with a fucking, you know, it's all that flavor with a U, you know, fucking fallen London, more like fallen English language. So, and I don't really know. I only played Sunless Sea for about an hour and a half before I get fucking bored with it. You know, it's just fucking menus, fucking text, fucking. And once you set sail, like, you do get to control your ship on the Untersee, eh? It's pretty fucking underwhelming. You know, just fucking like charting your course and filling out the map as you go. It's just more or less like this blind run, hoping to find like a port before you run out of food or fuel, because or your ship takes like too much damage from fucking like these crabs and jellyfish that are attacking you, which you can fight. But yeah, combat in the game is real fucking basic. You just point your ship in the direction of the enemy and wait for your weapon to be loaded up and fire. That's about it. I mean, I'm sure it gets more complicated and intense if you were to play for dozens of hours, and, you know, it's fucking pretty much like permadeath, so, you know, you'd have like all this fucking time and effort, I guess, if you wanted to like built up into your ship. and your ship would probably have, you know, more different weapons, and probably fighting these massive Lovecraftian monstrosities. But I don't know. I don't know if I can get to that point without wanting to fucking drown myself in the Untersee. I just can't get into fucking games like this. Is it where it's again just menus on top of menus with fucking seven tabs a piece and you have to scroll down through 10 options on each page before you find what you want, what you're looking for. What you think you want anyway, because it's, you know, there's just so much bullshit that they present at once. Which, you know, you go to your hotel or your house and you read the newspaper and it's like, okay, well, now you have one free activity point and, you know, do you want to hire this guy from the docks? I have fucking no idea. Do I? And it's like, oh, no, now you have a curse mummy that's in your hold. Cool, I guess. Is that good or bad? It's like, oh, you get a little prompt. Oh, the curse mummy wants you to take him to fucking Curse Mummy Island. But it's like, okay, so I guess the point right now is to fucking, like, sail to Curse Mummy Island. So you go there and you talk to them. It's like, oh, but they won't take the curse mummy off your ship until you deliver them 10 casks of fucking mushroom wine. It's like, okay, well, how much does that cost? They say, so you have to sail back to fucking where I started in London. It's like, oh, I don't have enough fucking money for mushroom wine. So I guess I'll just fucking sail off into the fucking Z and die, I guess, and fucking start over. I don't fucking know. Because they have no other goals. Then it's fucking, it's like, oh, I'm going to run out of fuel and fucking whatever. I'll just see what happens when I die, I guess. It's like, oh, you hit some random encounter, encounter happened and whatever. Here's a bunch of fucking money anyway and fuel and shit. It's like, cool. So I don't know. I'm just going to go fucking play something else. I don't fucking know about this shit. It would be okay, I think, if they focused on, like, the sailing around to different ports and trading, and it was just simple, just fucking like, all right, well, here's what you can buy, here's what you can sell, and whatever, you know, building up your ship and making money, but it's this fucking novel, you know, this novel that you're reading in the way of all of it. It's just like this disjointed, poorly illustrated novel. Just make a fucking game, you know what I mean? Couple sentences, blah, 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 this happened, that happened. You get money, continue on. You know, it's all you fucking need. Make a simple fucking game. But, you know, they have to add all this flavor, and it's fucking, I don't want to fucking read. Like, this is stupid. The gameplay itself is basically fucking Jaws on NES. But I'd rather just play Jaws on NES, which was ironically based on a movie that was based on a novel. So, hey, kind of like The Last Jedi.
Don't.
I played Need for Speed Heat for about half an hour. I didn't even really scratch the surface of the 10-hour free EA Access trial. It's not even that Need for Speed Heat was bad. It's just that, I don't know, it's just Need for Speed. That series has been around forever, and even though I do dabble in the occasional racing video game every now and then, I never really felt the need for speed, particularly. It sits in this like odd space where it's arcadey at its core. It's mostly just hitting the gas and like steering, but it's also really easy to completely blow a race in those games by making like one mistake, or you know, you hit a fucking guardrail, you hit another car, it's like, oh well, you're just out. I don't know, just fucking that's it. It like demands, it's arcadey, but it also demands like a sort of like perfection during these like long like stretches of like straightaways of miles and miles of road where, you know, it's not like they're on like a just circular track you're gonna memorize, and you know, it's not like the AI is like, you know, like fucking spot. It's just like, no, you have to just kind of just drive and not fuck up, and that's about it. And it's just like this in between. It's like an in between arcade and simulation. That game is like fucking like Forza Horizon, I think, or like have done much better. And every day, even like years ago, I'd play Need for Speed, and be like, yeah, it feels like it's just kind of some weird, like old timey fucking like Cruising USA type shit. I don't know. I would have given it more of a chance. I would say maybe 10 free hours worth. But as I was playing, I look over at my stream, and it was just like the game's choppy as shit, like on the stream. Playing on my monitor, it was fine, but there must be some sort of shitty DRM on the game or something like that, because I tried the usual OBS tweaks, and I tried using different capture modes and all that, but no matter what I did, it's still like the stream would just come out like garbage, and there's barely any like in-game graphical options to fuck with. So not that I would care too much about streaming. You know, if I was just fucking like, oh, this game's awesome, and I got into it immediately. Again, I only fucking played it for like half an hour, but what I played like that half an hour, I'm like, I don't know, I wasn't too impressed with it. So the streaming thing, I'm like, I don't know, I guess I can't stream this, so good enough of an excuse to fucking uninstall it as any. You know, at least I didn't buy it. Like, that was my main takeaway. I'm like, I guess I'm not going to play this. And speaking of excuses to not play games, so after last week where I spent an inexorbitant amount of time talking shit about Shenmue, I thought, you know, let's slow down here. Let's not be ignorant. You know, I've played the fucking games a couple times already, or tried to. So, yeah, let's give the series a second, or probably a third shot, I believe. At the very least, you know, if I just play it for a little bit, I can make like an updated, informed argument about why Shenmue is fucking terrible. You know, it's like I had the first and second game on Steam anyway, and I think it's on like Xbox Game Pass as well, and PS4 is probably given away as like a PS Plus or Games with Gold fucking game at some point, I'm sure. I think part of like Shenmue's mystique used to be like fucking, you know, years ago when fucking, you know, it used to be that those games were only on these consoles that weren't the most popular at the time, so people would kind of hold them up as whatever. I own a Dreamcast, or I was an early Xbox fucking adopter, so I played Shenmue 1 or 2, and I think that was part of it, of like fucking like, oh dude, these games, you know, people would kind of hype them up like they were better than they actually were, just because you knew that not everybody fucking played them, because they didn't have a fucking Dreamcast or a fucking Xbox or whatever. But now I think that the first two games are as common as like Limbo and Psychonauts. You know what I mean? That these fucking games just kind of like pop up in your library of every system you own. You know, whether you want them to or not, like whether you like them or not, it's just fucking like, oh, you're just fucking like, shove fucking Limbo and fucking of Psychonauts, and no, Shenmue 1 and 2, like, you own them. I didn't buy these. I didn't fucking download them. I was like, oh, you have them. They're just there. The first thing I did, as you do with most Steam games that are ports of old games, older games, I go into the fucking store page or whatever, the Steam discussions, and read some of the threads that are on there. And there's this fucking, like, huge list of, like, known bugs for the game. And I'm just, like, reading through them. It's a big fucking, like, paragraph. Just, you know, the game, all bullet points. The game won't start. The game crashes. And, you know, don't do this or it will erase your save game. And, you know, make sure to download these mods and fucking texture packs to fix all of these game-breaking problems that the game has. And, you know, it's fucking, you know, this, if it sounds like it doesn't work, it's, you know, music to my ears. And fucking, this game is not going to work. I'm thinking I'm going to go fucking play Shenmue. And within, like, a couple hours, like, the game broke. You know, what a pile of shit this game is. And, oh, well, I told you guys the game sucks. And that's what I was expecting when I started playing. But that didn't happen. It ran fucking flawlessly for all 20 hours that it took me to beat it. Because, yes, I beat Shenmue 1 in a week. And I don't know if that's something to be particularly proud of, but I did it. And the PC port of it is great. I mean, I can't say anything bad about that, about how it ran. It was pretty fucking solid. Graphically, it looks good. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not like remastered or anything like that. As far as I know, it's just like a straight port. But yeah, they did like an amazing job on it. As far as just the porting goes, you know, the ultra wide support, Xbox One controller works fine. Like, I know they did one thing to it. One thing I know that they added was you can save the game anywhere. There's an option. You just fucking hit, like, the menu when it's like integrated into the game, like it's supposed to be there, but I know it wasn't originally. You used to be, like, limited to saving. You had to, like, go to your house and save in the bed or whatever, but it's fucking like, oh, nope, just like a menu option now. It's like, oh, that's pretty fucking convenient. You know what I mean? If they're going to add, like, one thing, like, that's great. And, Shenmue, it's still, the game looks and incredibly impressive for a game that came out in, like, 1999. People's faces, just about, well, I'd say, like, almost everybody in the game but the main character for some reason, like the Ryo, fucking, he looks like an anime character, and then everybody else they use, like, facial scans for. And they basically just took, like, a photo of somebody and, like, slapped it on top of the character models. You know, even if that does look a little bit goofy sometimes, you know, it's, you look at it, it's like, oh, that's clearly like a human face, you know what I mean? A unique looking, you know, it's a unique line, human face, and, they have, you know, dozens, they do that for like dozens and dozens of fucking NPCs, and, most of them have names and personalities, and they'll give you different dialogue depending on when you talk to them in the game. Usually it's not fucking good or deep or meaningful dialogue, but I mean, just like the sheer amount of it, of like fucking like, oh, they put a lot of recorded lines in here, you know? And all that shit combined with like the motion capture, which is pretty early stage, I think in 99 for a game, they use fucking, you know, they even use like scans for like little details, like fucking like the palms of somebody's hands if they're doing like a close up and shit like that, where it's like, okay, it looks pretty fucking good, you know. As far as, again, keeping in mind this came out in 99, like, oh, do you see like all the fucking lines on Ryu's hand, you know what I mean? Compare that to a game like Grand Theft Auto 3 that came out like two years later in like 2001. And, you know, that game looked dated and awful by about 2003. It's fucking like, this looks like blocky shit. You know, it's like blocky shit with fucking garbage, like draw distance. You know what I mean? I know they're like very different fucking games, obviously. But I mean, visually, I mean, fucking Shenmue is just fucking like, oh, that's something else. Like, they really put in a lot of fucking effort into making this look like detailed and all that. However, it did not take very long before I remembered why these games fucking frustrated the shit out of me and made me think that the crazy Shenmue fanboys that have like Ryu Hazuki avatars are either trolls or severely autistic. I beat the game. It's like Shenmue is like a 3-hour game that's just artificially stretched out to be 20 hours. Not a hell of a lot happens in it. It's supposed to be part one of whatever, like an 11 or 14 part story. It's supposed to be like a 14 part fucking game series. And like, here's one, after playing through the first one, it's like, now I can't even really be mad at Yu Suzuki for scamming people with a Kickstarter. Now, I mean, he's been playing the fucking long con since the inception of it. I mean, he probably thought that if he dragged out this super simple story as long as possible, and, you know, it's like fucking, he convinced like some fucking executives, it's like, you know, it's going to be like, oh, this long series, we're going to need 14 games to do or whatever. It was going to be like a guaranteed cushy, like 20-year gig at Sega, just making these like little, like move the story a little bit further each time of these fucking, like, you know, then having fucking wheelbarrows of cash dumped on his desk, to make some of like the most unnecessarily expensive games in history. I think that was his plan all along. It was probably around then, too, that a little twinkle came to Kojima-san's eye when he got wind of that, that was something that you could do. So, yeah, I mean, here's the plot of Shenmue, the entire plot, really. So a guy named Lan Di kills Ryo's father and takes an amulet from under the Hazuki family tree. I mean, like a physical tree in the backyard. And Ryo swears revenge and starts asking around town for any clues about the guy who killed his father. Eventually, he finds like a second amulet under the family dojo, along with a note written in Chinese. He looks for a translator to translate the note. He ends up meeting with some mob boss guy who tells him that the note means that this guy, like the mob boss or whatever, is bound to help Ryo. But first, Ryo needs to help him deal with a rival gang, the Mad Angels. Then, you know, he asked around about the Mad Angels, and, you know, the Mad Angels are said to harass new workers on the docks. So Ryo takes a job driving a forklift on the harbor. Then, you know, the Mad Angels show up and harass him. He beats them up until eventually the head of the gang kidnaps Ryo's girlfriend, Nozomi. He goes to rescue her and makes a deal for her life. And you know, they'll let her go and tell him the whereabouts of his father's murderer, Lan Di, if he ends up stabbing the Chinese mob guy in the back who was helping him. And beats up a second in command. So he agrees to that, and he does that, but not really. They team up, him and the fucking bodyguard team up, and they beat up the Mad Angels, and they learn that Lan Di is going to Hong Kong. So then Ryo gets on a boat to Hong Kong. End chapter one. That does the entire story. And then here are the locations of Shenmue. All the locations in Shenmue where this happens. So it's Ryo's house and yard. And there's a dojo in the back. Then there's a small neighborhood. A block of stores. And the harbor. And there's like warehouses in there. And that's it. It's always like four different locations, really. Like that. That's it. I love that. Like, that entire thing could have been like a season, maybe, of a Telltale game. Maybe even condensed down to like an episode. Like, but this 14 part thing might have been like Telltale's Shenmue, you know, fucking episode one, Lan Di. It could have been like a 6 hour kung fu game at most, you know. But everything is just fucking stretched out. Like everything, as long as it can possibly be fucking stretched out. And yeah, because of that, I mean, you can like appreciate the detail in the world and the characters and all that's fucking like fantastic. It would have been fine if like it was like all that shit was just in the background and like the story was over in like a few hours and like, all right, well, now you can, whatever, if you want to replay it and take your time and talk to everybody and all that shit, that would have been fine. But the problem is the game forces you to like stop, and then it fucking like slams your faces into the fucking roses and rubs the thorns all over it. And, you know, I was like, look, 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 you know, you can walk into all these stores, every store on the street. You see all the stores that we have? It's like, you can walk into most of them, and no, you can pick up objects and you can fucking focus on them and twirl them around. And yeah, that's something that like still bothers me. Still pisses me off to this fucking day. You know, the fucking Uncharted, like Uncharted and shit still does it, where it's like fucking like, oh, I'll pick up the letter and look, you know, here's a fucking plate. No, oh, let's spin it around and look at the back of it, and oh, tilt it different ways. Now you can put it down and pick up a fucking vase, and you know, it's like great. You know, you made a fucking nice looking tea kettle model for your game. Congratulations, cool, looks good. If I wanted to, I could pick it up and look at it, but it's fucking, you know, I don't need to fucking like walk into the tea kettle store and fucking. It's like, oh, there's a fucking vital clue you're gonna need. It's like hidden inside one of the tea kettles. So pick them all up and look inside of them. It's like, dude, I get it. All right. And it's like fucking cool. It's something that's there. I can look at if I want on my own time. Most of Shenmue is in third person, but if you hold the left trigger, you switch to first person, which at first it seems like a neat way to have this, you know, this game that's set in Japan and everything's fucking authentic and all the fucking signs and shit are in, you know, Japanese fucking kanji or whatever. And then if you look at the signs and all that in first person, it gets translated into like English text on the bottom of the screen, almost like subtitles, you know what I mean? It's like, cool, it's a neat thing to, you know, to fucking, you know, I'm sure it's easier on them. They don't have to fucking like translate everything into whatever language, you know, whatever, localize every one of these signs and translate them into fucking English or whatever, you know. So it's like fucking cool. It's a cool thing. It's a cool way to translate whatever. I remember playing like Cold Fear not that long ago, where everything's like in Russian. You fucking look at it and it gets like translated. So it's like, all right, it's cool. It's kind of like that. Same with being able to like fucking like open drawers and, you know, you open up the phone book and all that shit. You know, it's awesome that you put that much detail into your game. But then the main path becomes like, oh, you know, your father left a clue hidden somewhere in your house and go find it. And it's like, okay, well, I guess I'm taking off all the paintings off the walls and flicking the light switches on and off. And it's like, what the fuck am I looking for? And, it would have been okay if there was like a focused direction, whereas if somebody just told you like, hey, Rio, in the fucking bottom drawer of this certain fucking dresser, there's a fucking key in there. It's like, okay, you know what I mean? But okay, I'll go look for it and dig around this one room or this one fucking drawer or whatever. But at one point in the game, I was just like stuck at like fucking like, oh, there's a clue in your house somewhere. And I'm looking at a walkthrough. There's literally like a key. It's like one of like 50 drawers in the fucking house. And it's like, oh, I had to pick up the book and turn it over. And then the key's there. It's like, I probably already did pick up the book, but so I didn't turn it over. You didn't fucking turn it. And then you didn't find the key underneath it. Stupid. And it's like, dude, fuck you, dude. Like, this is fucking ridiculous. Because at that point in the game, it was getting a little bit Goonies, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, oh, it's just going to turn to like a detective adventure game where you're discovering all this like hidden shit around your house and around town. And, you know, it's like fucking like, oh, here's like an underground secret passage and fucking it's all this hidden shit like under the dojo. And, it's like that shit, like, again, that would have been cool if like the game was like paced correctly and like expanded upon. It's like, oh, you know, Ryo's like this fucking detective or whatever, like detective thing. Well, it kind of is. I mean, the majority of the game is, you know, the going back to like the Shenmue thing, like the joke, the internet meme is fucking Ryo running around asking everybody he sees like where he can find some sailors. You know, it's like, oh, well, can you tell me where I can find some sailors? And fucking that does happen. And it's funny because, you know, it makes fucking Rio look fucking gay. Like, he's running around asking for fucking sailors, but it's like, oh, you know, Shenmue, remember when Rio ran around asking for sailors? But that doesn't even, like, scratch the surface of like, the repetitiveness of asking literally everybody that you come across, anybody that you see, like, the same questions over and over and over again. You know, it's funny because you can make like a take the game and make like a supercut of just like one part of it of like, oh, have you seen any sailors? Do you know where I can find some sailors? It's like, oh, that's funny. Huh? I remember that funny part in the game. It's not so funny that you could do the same thing with fucking, you're running around 50 times. Do you know anybody who can speak Chinese? Do you know the fucking Mad Angels? Where can I find a job? Is there a tattoo parlor around here? Like, that's the fucking game. Like, that's what you do for like 75% of it is fucking walking around asking the same questions over and over and over again. So, you know, it's like every time that you want to commend Shenmue for its like attention to detail, they twist that and you like, you know, end up fucking like cursing them for putting like two. I was like, why is there so much fucking goddamn detail in this world they make you fucking do? It makes the game almost fucking unplayable at points. You know, you have to have the fucking patience of a saint. Fucking, you know, spend like an entire fucking game day just going around asking where the tattoo parlor is. And then it leads you to like the shop. It's like, oh, you know, this guy at this shop knows, he'll tell you. And then fucking, it's like that opens at like 2 p.m. And you know, then like he tells you, oh, the tattoo parlor is like, oh, it's directly across the fucking street that you could just go there. But it's like, oh, now that the tattoo parlor isn't open, like, oh, that opens at like noon. So we have to like wait like the entire next day to fucking like go like 2 feet in the fucking game before you can go to like the next like story beat. And there's really nothing to fucking do until then. So you can't like speed up time. It's like, okay, you can't like, all right, wait until set your watch to fucking 2 p.m. and just like, all right, and then the game will just like go. It's like, no, you have to like hang around until whatever, like 8 p.m. or something like that. Then you can fucking run back to Ryo's house and have him like sleep, and then, you know, he'll wake up at like 8 a.m. or whatever, and it's like, oh, cool, now I still have like 4 hours of doing nothing in this fucking town until I can like advance the story a little bit. I'll sit here in the fucking outside the tattoo parlor's door, I guess, till it fucking opens up. So say what you want about Shenmue wasting your time, but at least the buses in the world run on schedule. A precise schedule every half an hour. So again, if you miss one, you know, if the fucking bus leaves at 12:30, you miss it, it's like, well, now I have to sit here at fucking 1 o'clock till the next one. So I'm just going to literally just stand here at a bus stop for half an hour game time, which is like, I don't know, like 10 minutes in real, something like that. So, cool. Just like real life, you know, just they really did a nice fucking simulating, waiting for a bus. And then there's the job that you get moving crates with a forklift. It's like right around then, it's like, as I was playing, I'm like, I think I pinpointed the exact moment that I said, fuck this game, the last time I tried playing it. Where it's like, fucking, I was just driving a forklift for hours and being like, no, I'm not doing this. And that was it. So once Ryo gets the fucking job at the docks, you're just like locked into doing that. You know, your alarm goes off in the morning. A cutscene plays out of you getting on a bus, getting off of a bus at the docks, and then it cuts to you sitting in a forklift, and you're having all the workers there on the fucking harbor have a daily forklift race before work. They do 3 full laps around the fucking harbor. There's no way to skip it; like you have to do it. And so you want to raise, you want to fucking get it done as soon as possible so you can fucking just go, so you can just go back to work, you know, go back to your job afterwards. And then, you get a toy at the end of it. And then you go to work, which is a fairly faithful simulation of having, a boring job in real life, which you probably do have one in real life anyway. It's like, oh, now you can play a game that you can also just do repetitive shit. You know, but you're probably trying to forget about by playing video games, but joke's on you because you're playing Shenmue. So use the forklift, you pick up a crate, drive it to a warehouse and drop it off. Then you drive back, pick up another crate, drive it into the warehouse and repeat that for a full 8-hour workday, you know, with a nice 2 hour break in between lunch, in between for lunch. There's no skipping it. I mean, that's the fucking main path of the fucking game. It's just like manual labor for about a week in game. And I think I did that like Monday through Friday. I'm like, oh, I guess I have to fucking do this. And I was like, fucking Jesus Christ, dude. It's just like this full of the same thing as getting up, alarm rings on the fucking boss, blah, blah, blah. Forklift race. Here's crates. Go pick up these crates. Now bring them to this warehouse. And just fucking just doing that over and over. So it's like, all right, so that happened like Monday through Friday. Then I'm thinking like, at least I can go back to like this openish fucking world. At least I'll have a day when the stores aren't closed. I can just go around and like do whatever and have time to kill. Go back to fucking, I'd rather be back to doing nothing for a little bit, just as a break of just doing this monotonous fucking job. Play arcade games, talk to random people. I'd rather do that for a while before I go, then like Monday, go back to the stupid, like working on the dock shit. But, it's like, no, Rio fucking works the fucking weekends too. It's like Saturday, it's fucking up, alarm rings fucking on the bus. It's like, Jesus, man. So you, and then you'll get, as you work, and you'll get into like one random fight each day until like that's how the story moves along. So it's like, this full fucking day, and then like randomly just fucking you'll be driving and like, oh, some fucking thugs come up and like, oh, it's the guy, and fucking you start fighting him for 2 seconds. And then it's like, okay, I guess that's how the story's going to move now. Probably could have condensed that into like one day to just move it along where it needed to be. And then I'd have no problem if it was just like, hey, you can sign up for a day of work and that's how you make money or some shit like that. Just fucking drive a forklift for a day. So yeah, that would have been fine if it was like an optional thing. It's about like four mandatory, it takes like 4 hours, like in real time, not game time. I'm talking like real time. You're wasting fucking 4 hours of your fucking life, doing that, driving a forklift. And feeling yourself die a little bit inside with each delivered crate that you do. The only other thing that Shenmue has there is its combat, which is, I don't know. It's like that you get into like these fights, these brawls, and it's pretty like button mashy. I mean, they make a big deal about like learning moves from like different like kung fu masters or some random guy. Like, oh, hey, check this and come over here to this warehouse and you can do like training and you can go to your dojo and like practice like all these, it's like forward X and kicks and throws and dashes and all this shit. Almost like a fighting game or like a, like 3D, like beat 'em up. It's like they're trying to go like Streets of Rage kind of, but in 3D. For the first like three quarters of the game, like you're not barely ever fucking getting in any of these fights. They pop up like so seldomly and they're so short. That's all you can really learn shit anyway. So like doing these fights, it's just fucking like, oh, here's a couple guys you can fucking spam a couple moves, it doesn't even matter, and they'll just die. It's like, okay, I guess that was the fighting. And again, they're making this big deal, you go to like the antique shop, it's like, oh, you can buy the fucking Tiger Fist maneuver, and this is how you do it, and it's like, oh, I'm gonna show you this ancient technique about how to, shadow step, and then you get on your opponent, and you throw him, and you fucking, like, hit him in the fucking neck or whatever, and then it's like the fight happens. It's like, I don't know, dude, fucking punch kick, I don't fucking care, you just fucking run. And if you start getting hurt, you just kind of back off a little bit and your health just kind of auto regenerates and shit. It's fucking like, I don't know, dude, whatever the fuck. And there's not much fighting in the game until the end, where there's just like they throw like 70 fucking guys at you. It's like, oh, you have to go through like this gauntlet, and if you fucking like die at any point, you're gonna start at the beginning. He's like, a fucking, it's huge. Oh, you wanted some fighting? Like, here's the finale. Here's just all the fighting you could ever want. And it's just fucking 70 guys just in a fucking row. You're just like fighting and, a couple like mini bosses and shit. It's like, oh, if they kill you, guess what? You're going back to, this 20-minute fight. You have to start all the way at the beginning. So, the game's a little uneven and wonky in the pacing department. But, I will say again, having played it, I didn't hate it. I didn't hate Shenmue. Definitely didn't particularly like it either, but it's somewhere in like the murky middle ground. You know, it's a curiosity where it's like, oh, there's definitely some good shit in there, but certain fucking design decisions that they made are just so fucking like asinine and just like, how the fuck, how did that fucking get through there? You know, and yeah, I think you have to be slightly retarded to play it all the way through like I did. So, next week, Shenmue 2 was, as I drive the fucking ice pick a couple inches further into my fucking eye socket. Gruntfreepress.com, Apple Pie, podcast at gruntfreepress.com. Send gummy bears.
Cool.